Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know by now the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but there is various content added throughout the week, so get yourself over there and check out what's going on. But you know, when you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? No, you better try that again, because that was horrible.
Dan the Man with three E's.
There you go. Much better. Now we can actually hear Dan. Of course, you know, it is a very sad day here on Sports Time Radio. Dan, in case you haven't heard, Monopoly has decided to drop the thimble from their game pieces. So.
I was always the car anyway.
I was always the hat. So, but. Yes, I don't know if they're replacing it. They did not say, but it's all, you know, always sad. I was trying to remember, Dan, when was the last time you played Monopoly?
If you go on my Instagram, you'll see a picture of my nephew dominating. There's not a lot of me and my wife and my niece, so. Whatever that was.
And how long ago? Yeah, I was going to say, I think yeah. I played... Yeah, I played online a game once. It's probably 4 or 5 years ago, and that was it. But I haven't played the board version. Well, you know, I don't have enough friends to actually play. It would just basically be me against the cats, and I don't want to lose to a cat, so that could be a little rough. But anyways, you know, Dan, we went through all the trouble of listing the opening day starters and talking about the teams and. Some of them we were worried about, and the one I think, you know, you and I decided we weren't worried about were the Washington Nationals, but now there's a very good chance Max Scherzer will not get that opening day start because he's still dealing with that broken knuckle on his pitching hand. So is it Strasburg then? Is that just the natural move for them?
Did he try to choke Bryce Harper? Is that what happened?
I don't remember if the report ever came out on how he did it. So I you know, just one of those things.
I mean, who else would they go with? They don't have any. Well, you know, they go with Gio, right?
Yeah, I mean, they still have Gio, and they do have Joe Ross, you know, if they wanted to go that route. I mean, I guess there, you know, there are other options, but I just kind of figured he was the natural, you know, what, next man up? Is that what they call it, type of deal?
Pretty much.
So, but yeah, I thought it was humorous because I think he was one of the locks, right, in that article yesterday. There were like three locks, and I believe he was one of them. And it was just like, oh, yeah, okay, here we go.
Yeah, no, the locks were the King, Felix.
Kershaw. And who?
Verlander.
Oh yeah, okay. But okay. So he was a pretty good chance of getting the start, but yeah just kind of. Just kind of one of those odd things. Apparently, Dan, this is a stress fracture that he developed late last season. And the quote in the article I have here, they put it as essentially healed. But he couldn't. He hasn't been able to pitch off the mound in spring training. Now, obviously, it's only been a few days. But yeah, they're obviously going to be really careful of it. You know, I mean, they are anyways with pitchers now, and in this case, you know, they're going to be extra careful here. So, but yeah, they're even saying, I guess his workout in the winter. He didn't throw a baseball at all in the winter. It was tennis balls and lacrosse balls because the baseball was too big with the injured finger. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he recovers. You'd have thought all winter that would have healed up, right? I mean, you're the medical guy here. Why didn't it heal?
I have no idea. I mean, not really a medical guy, but I did fracture my knuckle in somebody's head. I mean, it did take a couple months to heal, I think, but, you know, there really wasn't anything to do. Just put a splint on it and wrap it up.
So, yeah, you know, it looks like, yeah, and they do have the rest of the rotation here. We missed Tanner Roark, who had a really good year for the Nationals last year. He was the other guy. They do say if Scherzer goes on the DL, the fifth spot will either go to A.J. Cole or Austin Voth, V-O-T-H, who is their highest-ranking prospect right now after they dealt all the other ones away to the White Sox. So, actually, they mentioned that it would have been Giolito or Ronaldo Lopez. But obviously, with them guys both gone, so. But yeah, it's, mentions here how Scherzer has pitched at least 200 innings in each of the past 4 years. You know, all that is in doubt now with this injury, depending on how it heals. And, you know, it could be nothing. He could get over it right away and, you know, won't miss but a start or two, or, you know, it could linger all year. This is a big deal for this team, right?
I mean, yeah, it's a 22-game winner. I think this verifies as a win to them.
Yeah, you're underwater again. Damn it. Why do we keep having this happen? I didn't understand a thing you said, and I'm sure nobody listening did either.
As they say, the show must go on, so keep going.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't want to go over something that you made another point on, because then I always feel like an idiot, and you get mad when I say the same thing you did. So I am trying to figure out here, Dan. Do you know who Kendry Flores is? It's saying here the Cardinals voided this guy's contract because he failed a physical, but I had zero clue on who this guy is.
You would have had to email me that earlier.
Yeah, they were talking about how he was one of the guys they were going to look at to take Alex Reyes's place. But, yeah, I didn't hear it. Obviously, he's just kind of a young guy here. He pitched one game with the Marlins last year. He pitched seven with them in 2015. He's a 23-year-old right-hander who apparently failed his physical, and now he's out of the, out with the Cardinals. So what do they got him? Anything here? Oh, apparently he had right shoulder discomfort, and, you know, that's why he failed. So, all right, if you were counting on him to replace him, then that's not going to happen. I thought maybe, how the Cardinals always kind of, they end up dragging some guy up through their system that you've never heard of, and all of a sudden he starts putting up numbers. You know, I thought maybe he was going to be one of those guys, but yeah, it's just apparently some guy they signed as a minor league free agent or something like that, so. We should be we should be, you know, nothing too big to worry about. But, you know, I seeing this thing now, and I know, you know, we've talked about this a few times. You know, this is Jake Arrieta's contract year. Now, you know, when this came up last year, you know, he was coming off the Cy Young year. You know, they were talking about him. You know, he was the best pitcher in baseball. And, you know, I got to be fair, Dan, he was a little arrogant about it, talking about how, you know, there wouldn't be a hometown discount and, you know, all the other BS that went along with it, even though, you know, the Cubs are the only team he's ever pitched well for. You know, last year he came back down to earth a little bit. You know, he still had a really nice year, but he wasn't, you know, that Cy Young Award winner type of guy. And now all of a sudden, Dan, his tune has changed as today in an interview, he mentioned that he's hopeful to remain a Cub beyond 2017. So is it just one of those things that, you know, you have a little bit of a down year and all of a sudden you realize I shouldn't have shot my mouth off?
Well, I you know, I see a common theme across the league, though. Every guy that opens their mouth and says something like that, what ends up happening? They don't perform.
They get hurt. Well, so, yeah, you know, it's weird because it's not like, you know, again, it's not like he had a terrible year. You know, and I'm just kind of wondering if maybe, you know, he's a Scott Boras guy, you know, and Boras is, you know, notoriously, you know, I'm going to put it this way, Dan, he's notoriously bad for some of his clients. You know, he kept Kendrys Morales and Steven Drew out for half a season. Morales has oddly bounced back as a good hitter. Drew never got back to anywhere close to the form he ever was. Matt Wieters is in that kind of boat right now. He's a Boras client who's hanging out on the free agent market. He was easily the best catcher on the market, and he can't get a deal because Boras keeps pushing teams to try to give him 4 and 5 years, and it's just not going to happen. Last reported, he's got a one-year offer from the Tampa Bay Rays, but apparently they're not interested in that. So who knows if Matt Wieters is going to have a job here come opening day, and that would be sad because he is a very good, you know, baseball player, especially for a catcher. You know, is he going to end up screwing Arrieta over, or is it the fact that he's a pitcher the deal's going to be easier to come up with?
Like I said, I think the pitcher makes it a little bit easier, but, you know, don't forget about Lance Lynn. Wasn't that Lance Lynn who sat out and then was eventually picked up by the Brewers?
Kyle Loesch,
I was close.
Yeah, I forgot about him, and he stunk too. So, but yeah, I'm looking here to see if any years or anything that they're talking about already, because apparently they're in talks with for an extension with the Cubs, is what this article is kind of hinting at.
But, you know, what's funny though is, I think after he ran his mouth and everyone understanding his terms of his contract, I think pretty much everyone in Chicago accepted the fact that he would be gone after this season.
Yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, he can easily control his own destiny here. I mean, if he goes out and has a fantastic year, you know, teams are going to be willing to pay him, you know, the Cubs too. It's not like the Cubs don't have the money. But yeah, I just find it kind of interesting that, you know, his tune has changed a little bit. He is due $15.6 million this year, you know, but, we'll have to see, you know, how things kind of play out for him. You know, I didn't expect him to the Cy Young from, you know, a year, you know, 2 years ago now, but, you know, Mr. Fantasy thought he was going to go out and have a huge year again. I guess 18-8 isn't too bad, though, right?
No, it's pretty solid, but you've got to wonder, when he opened his mouth, that was pre-winning a World Series, and I think maybe that might have changed his mind, reevaluate what he was thinking about.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, Dan, if, you know, maybe he realized, you know, the reason for his record and stuff, especially last year, you know, was just the fact that he got a whole bunch of run support. You know, his ERA jumped up to over 3 again last year. You know, maybe, you know, he realized that, yeah, you know, you're not always going to be that, you know, 177 the year he won the Cy Young in 2015. That's not always going to happen. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess if you're a pitcher, it's smarter to stay with a good team than, you know, I mean, try to go out and pitch for, you know, we'll throw the White Sox in there, you know, the Brewers, the Reds, those kind of teams that are going through the rebuilds. So, you know, maybe he realized that.
Well, like you said, the run support was huge because after he threw that second no-hitter against the Reds, seemed like after that, you know, there was a handful of games where, you know, he didn't make it past the fifth inning. And you're right, he would have got the loss if it weren't for the run support.
So, yeah, you know, and he, you know, again, he definitely had a, you know, I guess you could call it, you know, I don't even want to call it a down year. It just wasn't the same year. You know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those things. I mean, that's just kind of how, you know, how things go at times for guys. You know, some years everything's just falling in your lap and, you know, you're kind of like, oh, okay, hey, great. You know, you're winning games. You know, those games that you normally would lose, you know, 5-4 or 5-3 or whatever, all of a sudden you're winning 5-4 or 5-3. So, you know, it can really, you know, really kind of change. And I just, you know, I don't know. It almost seems as though he just didn't appreciate it. You know, I guess is kind of the word I'm looking for there. So, but, yeah, and obviously, you know, it's way too early to kind of speculate on anything. I mean, if he goes out and has a good year, you know, he's a $20 to $25 million a year pitcher. So, you know, we'll just kind of have to wait and see. You know, I mean, are you hoping, you know, even if he repeats his year like last year, say he just wins 15 games next year, would you be happy with the Cubs bringing him back? I mean, he has been a really good established, well, you know, he was a number one last year. He's really kind of a number two in reality. Would you be happy with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd still be pretty happy. But, you know, like you said, he had to come back down to earth. And in the month of July, last year, he didn't have a win at all in 5 starts. And, you know, he had 2 starts that went 7 innings. But in July, he gave up 29 hits and 17 home runs. You know, big. It's pretty big. And in August, he had, you know, here's the prime example, like you said, two games, let alone where he went 5 2/3, where he gave up a handful of runs, but the Cubs run support really, you know, put him over the edge.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talked about that a little bit with John Lackey as well. You know, the run support really, really saved him a couple times. So, while we are on the Cup, no, go ahead and finish your thought there.
At the same time, I don't know, 30 years old, I would like to see just maybe a 2 year option. But, I mean, if it's an automated signing deal, I think that's going a little too far.
So, yeah, you know, like I was saying, while we're on the Cubs, I don't know if you've caught this. I think just about every one of my friends who's a baseball fan has posted this on my Facebook page. Have you seen the Greg Maddux pranking Chris Bryant video yet?
No, I haven't.
So, yeah, when you get a chance, I'm sure it's all over your Facebook page too. So, you know, just one of those weird things. But, you know, I need your explanation on this, Dan. This one's kind of a shock to me. You know, players are going through arbitration right now. And one of the guys whose cases was heard today was your guy, Tony Watson. He was asking for $6 million. The Pirates countered with $5.6 million. He actually lost his, I'm looking at it here. You know, Watson's 31. He had a 3.06 ERA. His record was 2-5, and he made 70 appearances last year. Ended up having to take over the closer role because they shipped off Melanson to the Nationals. You know, picked up 15 saves. And I'm, you know, not to mention the 23 holds he had before, you know, he took over as the closer. And I'm just kind of like, well, you know, A, how did this guy lose? And B, why couldn't they just meet in the middle at 5.8 before this got to arbitration?
I don't know. I think maybe they don't have any faith in retaining him if he becomes a free agent next year.
Is he headed to free agency? Is he out of? I don't even know. I figured you would know. But yeah, I mean, when he hits the market, I mean, we're looking at a guy, you know, left-handed, can pitch, you know, just about every day. I don't know why, you know. I know the Pirates have their own way of doing things, but obviously, you know, if you could lock this guy up for, you know, he's 31. You know, lock him up for 4 years. Keep him around till he's 35. And, you know, you could probably get him at $7, maybe $8 million a year after this. You know, Dan, if he gets out on the market, you know, a team's going to throw probably $10 or $12 million a year at this guy, aren't they?
I mean, as you were talking, that's the exact numbers I was seeing. You know, 10 for the first two and gradually moves up to 12. But I think with the lack of progression in the Pirate system, he might be looking at, you know, greener pastures. We might even see him traded, I think, you know, because you remember, you know, one of the teams that was eyeing closers was were the Marlins. And then with the turnaround, and again, another team that I think is going to be interesting to watch is the Braves. You know, they might be a team looking to go after him. I mean, what about the Yankees? Oh, no, never mind, not the Yankees.
you got to wonder, and I mean, not even as a closer, you know, he was the best setup man in baseball. You know, and obviously he's going to close this year just because that's the need for the Pirates right now. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you've got to be sitting there. I mean, if, you know, I'm the Dodgers and, you know, maybe Tony Romo struggles a little bit. Or Sergio Romo, Tony Romo. Yeah, you can tell where I'm going there, huh? You know, because Romo, you know, he did have a few issues last year. You know, so you wonder, you know, if he's scuffling a little bit or whatever's working out, you know, you bring him in, imagine having him in front of Kenley Jansen as your 1-2.
Well, I mean, think about him. You know, you brought up the Dodgers, and that's a great scenario, too. I forget who's in their system, but if you're able to make a trade before the deadline, and you have Romo 7, Watson 8, and Jansen 9?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I mean, I kind of lean to him being a little more of a setup guy because, you know, in 2015 he had a 191 ERA exclusively as a setup guy, and in 2014 he had a 163 ERA exclusively as a setup guy. You know, closing is a little tougher. You know, I think he was 15 out of 20 last year, so he did blow 5 saves in that role. But, yeah, if you're able to just slide him back in front of a stud closer. You know, I always bring up the Dodgers because, you know, they have that top-rated farm system. And obviously we've seen that they're not afraid to go out and make moves and go get guys and stuff where a lot of teams go, oh, no, I can't part with this prospect. No, you know, we can't give up a prospect for anybody. You know, or the Dodgers are like, yeah, screw it, we're going to try to win here, so let's go get this guy. You know, it's it could be very interesting. So I think he's probably the one guy. You know, you always got to make your predictions. I wouldn't expect. I've got a feeling he'll be off the Pirates before McCutchen.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like you said, if he hits the market, I mean, who better than the Cubs to pick him up?
Right. You know, that would be another really good scenario, you know, depending on how that bullpen works. You know, Strope had some issues last year. You know, Rondo was hurt. You know, and if he's going to have to set up, you know, you don't know how he'll adjust to that role. You know, if you could run Watson in there, and then you could go with, you know, Pedro Strop, Hector Rondon, and then Watson to Davis, you know, you could roll. And that's the fact that Watson is left-handed really gives you an extra move there. You know, and I mean, any of the contenders, you start to look at them, you know, maybe with the exception of Cleveland, because they have that over-the-top bullpen, but, you know, he could still be a huge fit there as well. You know, you got to wonder, you know, like the Nationals don't really have a closer. You wonder if maybe they've been knocking on the Pirates' door. You know, I kept hearing the David Robertson rumors, but, man, I want Tony Watson way ahead of David Robertson.
I mean, just to throw another couple of names, I mean, what about the Astros and the Cardinals? I mean, this guy could be very valuable.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, well, maybe if it's only for 1 year they would deal him to the Cardinals. I always wonder if teams will trade guys inside the division. I know it happens a little more now, but, yeah, you know, I don't think you could name a contender where he wouldn't be a fit. You know, when it comes to the trade deadline and we're looking at contenders, I'm willing to bet you'd be able to get Tony Watson on any of those teams in any type of role. You know, I mean, the Tigers are a team that, you know, is dying for bullpen help. You know, it's right there in your face. If you're looking for all this help, you know, and you wonder why these teams haven't checked in or, you know, who knows, maybe they have, but, you know, this is a name that really hasn't came up that much. And, you know, obviously we've been all over him for a really long time now, probably 3 or 4 years, maybe even longer. I just don't know. It's a little, you know, interesting to see him kind of sitting out there with no real fanfare. You know, is it just that he got hidden under all the Andrew McCutchen BS?
Well, I think so. Of course, I'm, you know, reading an article and trying to find out how the cheese is made, but they don't really.
You say how cheese is made?
How the case is made for the Pirates.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say that was a little weird. I was like, okay, it's probably not the time for us to go into that. But all right, if you want to talk about that, I'm good. So, yeah, I don't. You know, they don't ever, you know, really say a whole lot about it. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you know, here's your deal. But yeah, you know, with the, you know, the kind of shape the Pirates are in, are they a contender? Aren't they a contender? You know, you got to wonder if maybe they would be willing to, you know, part with him. You know, obviously they're not going to re-sign him. You know, that's kind of Pittsburgh's way. They don't bring these guys back. So, you know, might as well move him now. And I was incorrect. He actually blew 8 saves last year. But, oh, no, wait, I was right. Never mind. I'm stupid. I was reading something else. But, yeah, you know, you just have to wonder, you know, because I would, like I said, I would figure, some, you know, somebody's going to want him, you know, probably everybody in this case. I don't know if Jared Hughes can close. I know, you know, he's another guy who got a lot of opportunities. I know they like Felipe Rivero. They think he's got the ability to possibly close, but, you know, you just kind of wonder if, you know, maybe, you know, there's, you know, a good deal out there for them. And, you know, the sooner they move them, the more they're going to get for them. You know, because the less time a team is going to have them, obviously. But, you know, who knows? But yeah, that was, I was a little surprised there by the fact that, you know, he lost. I was just kind of like, you know, that, and it was just such a, you know, such an odd, you know, just, you know, I mean, again, why they didn't just get together, meet in the middle, I don't know. You know, and we are talking about the Pirates. You know, it looks like they may not have Jung Ho Gang to start the year. You know, he got his third DUI in Korea, and he's actually on trial over there right now. Wow. So he couldn't report. So, you know, his trial actually, I believe it started, and then they moved it back to February 22nd. So yeah, he's not gonna, you know. And then there is a chance. I want to see if it's in this article here, but since this is his third one, there is a chance he could do jail time. The article says here he was reportedly fined $15 million. So that's a quite a hefty number there for a DUI. But they don't appear to have any of the possible jail time if he's convicted or anything like that. So more and more, though, it's looking like there's a chance, you know, if he can't get this wrapped up, that he won't be there opening day. So. That could be a, you know, another huge loss for them. I know they have David Freese. You know, luckily they brought him back, but they're just and I know you and I always kind of root for this team. I mean, we like to see them do well, but you know, I don't know. I kind of wonder at this point, you know, what they're doing. You know, all we heard all offseason was they're going to move, you know, they're going to trade McCutchen, and all they did was move him to right field. So, you know, they didn't make any, you know, what is their biggest sign in bringing back Ivan Nova, you think?
Pretty much.
You know, I mean, I know they did sign Daniel Hudson to, you know, pitch in the bullpen, but, you know, it's getting tougher and tougher to root for this team, Dan, because I just don't know what the hell they're doing. So, you know, unless we're going to see some of these prospects that would they keep talking about, you know, I don't know. So, yeah, just one of those fun things, I guess we get to, you know, it's that time, so we get to talk about it all, right? And I did see, Dan, and apparently Matt Latos and the Blue Jays finally agreed to a deal. I guess they were talking for like 4 days. For some reason, it was really widely reported, and I just kept thinking, it's Matt Latos. Why is this such a big deal? But he ended up with a minor league deal with an invite to spring training. And, yeah, I don't think there was any other big signings today. So, is that exciting for you? You like the Matt Latos signing?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was just more shocked that it was made into such a big, you know, because there were a lot of people talking about it on, you know, the MLB network. And it's like, guys, it's Matt Latos. Why are, I mean, he got cut by the White Sox last year. What's the big, you know, the big deal here? But I guess they're under the impression he's going to help the Blue Jays out. I'm not, I can't say I'm buying that one, Dan. I really can't.
No.
So, you know, especially going over their rotation yesterday when we were talking about their opening day starter, you know, he's a bullpen piece at best if he even makes the team. So, you know, I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay, good luck there. Now, do you know, I know we've got the majority of players starting to report, you know, today, tomorrow, over the weekend. Do you know when we get the first actual games? Do you know the schedule at all? I haven't seen anything.
I think everything starts in March, but got that last week of February. I mean, they've got enough already. I was looking at some article. The 20-something
of February. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I could have looked. Yeah, but, I'm sure I could have looked. I just did pull any up.
Well, you know, they're playing a bunch of, like, college teams. And then Friday, February 24th, really kicks off.
Yeah, you know, I know they always do the, you know, the college scrimmage stuff, so.
Yeah, but it looks like, right there, that's Friday, February 24th, spring training really kicks off.
Well, that'll be fun. You know, not that there's a whole bunch of excitement in the spring training games, but you know, it's always nice. You know, once those get rolling, that we're just getting closer. So,
one of the guys I work with is thinking about taking a trip to Arizona this spring, and after hotel prices and airline tickets, He decided it's better to just stay home and wait for the regular season to start.
So, yeah, I could imagine. Well, you know, that's, you know, probably their biggest time of the year, right, when spring training is rolling?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my parents had to go last year when my grandmother passed. And emergency tickets, my dad said they paid $1,000, I think, each round trip.
Wow.
Friend to my mom.
Jeez.
And he said there was no hotel. They had, you know, fortunately they had the house, but said there was nowhere to stay.
Huh. Yeah,
and
I guess that's
he was actually thinking. He was actually looking into going out there this spring, this past October, and said majority of the hotels were booked up in October. For spring training.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, see, that's why I could never go, because I would never think to plan that far ahead. You know, I'd be like, it's a month before, let's see what we can get. I'd be like, no, you're not going anywhere. So, but yeah, I guess it is. I guess it's probably a nice deal. You know, you get out, even though the winter hasn't been terrible here, you know, depending on where you live, you get out of some pretty bad weather. And, you know, I do know a couple people who have been to spring training, and I guess it's really enjoyable, you know, obviously when the games are going on. When the games aren't happening, you know, watching workouts isn't really that exciting. But, there's always something going on.
Yeah, well, and you have the advantage of getting a little bit more up and close and personal with everybody. I just think it's funny that Arizona's the spot, and I guess unless you're, East Coast, no one really talks about Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, remember the Dodgers and the White Sox moved out of Florida to go to Arizona.
Yeah, that seemed to be the thing, and the Dodgers had a really, really nice complex. I remember reading it, they built not too long ago. You know, they sunk a whole bunch of money into a really, really nice complex there. And then it's like, everybody's going to Arizona, let's go. But I guess, the weather works out better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot less humid, the dry weather. And, I mean, one of the big ones is the facility that the Diamondbacks and the Rockies kind of share talking sticks. Seeing the facilities on MLB TV, I would like to just hang out in the clubhouses there. I don't want to watch the games. I just want to hang out in the clubhouse.
It's one of those things that would be great to do, just one time. But, like you said, I mean, the cost is just... just kind of nuts. So,
yeah,
But, you know, I guess I just got to live with, you know, getting the reports from the, you know, the daily basis, you know, from everything. So, you know, we'll just have to live with that for now. But now it is, Dan, changing up here. The last day before the NBA takes its All-Star break. And there are two big, huge games to end it. I know the Bulls are in the the first game is actually the Washington Wizards at the Indiana Pacers, which should be starting pretty much any minute here. And then we got the Boston Celtics at the Chicago Bulls. Now, you know, the Wizards have won 9 of 10, Dan. Is the break coming at the wrong time for them?
Say that again.
Well, actually, Dan, it's the Wizards and the Celtics who have won 9 of 10. Is the break coming at the wrong time for these teams?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because we're a whole another month off of basketball.
Yeah, I got to go back in here and check and look at the schedule because, you know, obviously the break starts tomorrow, the Friday the 17th. And, good Lord, I've got to... I got to move ahead a week here, Dan, to find out when they actually will the court again. Oh, Thursday. So LeBron gets his wish. He gets an entire week off, as we will not be in action till from tomorrow, Friday, till Thursday the 23rd is when teams will be back on the court. So there you go.
Well, technically, he doesn't get all week off. He's got to do all the festivities.
Yeah, he ain't doing anything. Does he even show up for All-Star Saturday night anymore?
I don't know. I have no clue.
You know, and here's the weekend rundown, Dan. I know you're curious. Friday night, they have the All-Star Celebrity Game, and then they also do the Rising Stars Challenge. Saturday night, you know, we get the skills challenge, the three-point shootout, and the slam dunk contest. And then Sunday night is the All-Star game. And now they have replaced for the Eastern Conference, since Kevin Love is hurt, Carmelo is going to take his spot.
If you can imagine not really reading the article and skimming over the headlines, but I originally thought when I saw that.
Yeah, do you think that just ruins Carmelo's weekend? Do you think him and the wife had plans and they said, hey, you want to come out and play?
No, I think he's all for it. I didn't read everything. All I saw was Carmelo replaced Love, and I'm like, wait. Then I read on.
So now, here you go, Dan. The competitors in the dunk contest. Now, you know, Zach LaVine is the two-time defending champion. He wasn't going to compete anyways, and he is hurt. Aaron Gordon is in. He was the runner-up last year. He'll probably be a heavy favorite to win this year. DeAndre Jordan of the Clippers. It's always interesting to see those seven-footers try to come up with dunks. Glenn Robinson III of the Indiana Pacers. And Derek Jones Jr. of the Phoenix Suns are your slam dunk guys. The three-point contest, Dan, oh, here you go. Klay Thompson is back to defend his title. He's going against Kyle Lowry of the Raptors, Eric Gordon of the Rockets, Kyrie Irving of the Cavs, C.J. McCollum of the Trailblazers, Kemba Walker of the Hornets, Wesley Matthews of the Mavericks, and your guy Swaggy P is in, Dan, for the Lakers.
Well, that'll be fun.
So then we have the skills competition, which they ruined last year. I don't know if they fixed it or not. You got a guy to root for here too, Dan. Kristaps Porzingis of the Knicks, DeMarcus Cousins of the Kings, Anthony Davis of the Pelicans, Nikola Jokic of the Nuggets, Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics, Gordon Hayward of the Jazz. Oh, you got two guys to root for, Dan. John Wall of the Wizards is in this.
Ooh.
And so's Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. So those are your competitors for Saturday night. I think, was Jimmy in last year or 2 years ago? I know he did it the one time. But yeah, no Bulls, Dan. We have no hometown rooting interest this year. So, you know, and I got to tell you, you know, they ruined the skills contest for me last year with the way they did things. You know, the only one I really look forward to now, Dan, is a 3-point shooting contest.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan anymore of the dunk contest. I told you, I mean, D. Brown finished it off for me back when he did.
Yeah, you know, I know, you know, Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine have been really good the last couple years. But looking at the field this year, you know, Gordon is obviously going to be a huge favorite. I'm interested to see what DeAndre Jordan can do because, you know, I mentioned the bigger guys, you know, they really have to be creative. And, like, you know, Glenn Robinson is a, you know, a bench player on the Pacers, and I didn't even know Derrick Jones Jr. was in the league for the Suns, so they're really going to have to show me something to get me interested. And, like, if their first dunk isn't very good, I'll just go away from it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's rough. How can you – what can you really come up with? You know, obviously they're not going to pull out – they're not going to pull out old Phoenix Sun mascot dunks. Do you remember the old gorilla? I don't know if he's still doing it.
Yes. Oh, of course. He's the gorilla.
So, and, you know, I mean, how many times can you jump over a guy and over two guys or about seven-year-olds or, you know, six guys stacked on top of each other? Yeah, I mean, well, and the car has to be a Kia because you can't, you know, that's their sponsor. So, and those things are small to begin with. You can't drive a car because, you know, there's not enough room. So I don't know. It's one of those things. I guess it becomes one of those things. It's for the kids, right? You know, kids who maybe the first time you're 7, 8, 9 years old. I don't know. It's dunk contest. You know, kind of like, I forget who in the NFL said it, but, you know, it's like, hey, when you score a touchdown, act like you've been there before and hand it off to the ref and, you know, go about your business because you're a professional. But at the same token, I mean, that's how I kind of feel about the dunk contest, you know? Is anyone really going to do the Michael Jordan from the free throw line and, you know...
Yeah, and, you know, and to be fair, Michael Jordan wasn't even the first one to do that. It was actually Dr. J.
Yeah.
You know, there may have been somebody before that. I mean, we don't even know. I don't remember if David Thompson ever did it. You know, the ABA used to have a dunk contest, you know, when they were the Rogue League with the three-pointer and the red and white ball. You know, their All-Star Weekend is where a lot of this came from because that was the more fun league. I guess you would call it street. It was a little more... street basketball oriented when they were up and running. So, you know, that was where a lot of that all got started. And, you know, they had the 3-point line first. You know, that was a part of their game right from the beginning. You know, the NBA didn't have that. That was adopted in. So, you know, it was, you know, the NBA was just kind of the stodgy, you know, run by old white guys league until the ABA folded and they added some more, you know, a few more concepts.
Yeah. Which is funny when you look at old pictures from, say, the 60s of the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely an odd. So, yeah, not quite the same now at all. So, you know, it'll be... you know, but yeah, that's, you know, like I said, I really, you know, I enjoy the, you know, the shooting, the 3-point shooting. Cause I mean, that's, again, you know, the NBA has the two events that actually capsize, I don't even know how to word it out, but kind of makes their league what it is. You have the 3-point shooting and the dunking because that's all that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you're not going to have a jump shot contest, you know. Who can hit the most 18-footers?
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, cool. You know, here you go. This is, you know, this is what we do. You know, we shoot jump shots and we dunk. That's it. So,
well, you know, I think for the people that go there, it's probably fun, but it's, you know, it's one of those things. Once you get old like us, across a certain point, it's like, well, just give them the week off. I don't want to watch. You know, who cares?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the game itself is terrible.
Yeah.
You know, it is probably the worst All-Star game out of any of them. And the NFL Pro Bowl is pretty bad. But this is far worse. I mean, you know, it literally, my guess is that one of the teams is going to score 170 points. You know, I'm waiting for the time where they get to 200 because there's just, you know, absolutely no defense played at all. And, I mean, it's, you know, let's face it, it's a joke.
Yeah, I mean, the way they play, Steph Curry might as well just stand by the three-point line and not move. Oh, you're playing no defense.
Right.
No, I'll just stay here, launch it to me, I'll shoot another three, and, you know.
Yeah, he could cherry-pick like that high school kid did when he scored 92. You know, just stand in his favorite
exactly
spot.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Throw the ball down to him and let him, you know, let him take the shot. Oh, hey, Steph's open. Okay, throw it down there. All right, just shoot it. Just shoot it.
Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day,
it's
become a money grab.
Sorry.
Well, it's become a money grab, and it's a revenue generator for the NBA.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that actually has any interest whatsoever in the game would be to see if Steve Kerr, who's coaching the Western Conference, would put Russell Westbrook in the game with Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Kevin Durant. That's the only thing I would want to see.
That would be fun. Bring him over, too. No, I guess that can't happen now, right? But...
Well, no, he's a free agent at the end of the year. If they could make it work with the salary cap, you know, they could get him in, you know, nice and easy. You know, now with this new gigantic salary cap, it would probably be really easy to, to incorporate a guy like him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, you know, that's one of those things I probably, you know, probably won't even turn it on. You know,
no,
I just don't, you know, Sunday night, I don't care what happens.
No, and whatever the scheduled start time is, you know, it's whoever the entertainment is, you'll have to watch that for what, 45 minutes for the opening of the NBA, the All-Star game.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and you know, to be honest, Dan, I would watch the player introductions if you could tell me somebody was going to dance like Shaq did that one time.
I mean, they might as well just have Shaq do the whole thing.
Yeah, that was far and away the best All-Star message or All-Star entrance ever. You know, when he did the thing with the Jabberwockies and wore the mask, and you know, he understood that it was a show and it needed to be fun for the fans.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same token, you'll never have, you know, like we always say, another Michael Jordan. There'll never be another LeBron James. And there is never, I don't care what you say, as far as players goes, you know, you've got, like I said, James and Jordan, but there's never going to be another guy like Shaq. I mean,
no,
like you said, Shaq knew it was entertain, you know, it was about the fans, the entertainment. But I mean, Shaq came out, I think he started back in, what, 91 with the Magic and Penny Hardaway and all that good stuff, and immediately was on, you know, a movie with Nick Nolte. Blue Chips, you know, in 92, he comes out with his own rap series. Did a little rap song with the Fushnikins. He take it back. I think it's like 91, 92, 93. And then, you know, shortly after that little song, I'm sure it was, you know, on the billboards. It was hot when I was a little, you know, teenager, junior high. It was a whole lot of fun. And then he comes out with Shaq Fu. And then he does another CD where he's pretty much got every popular rapper on there. So, I mean, this guy knew entertainment. And not to mention all the bad movies. Steel.
Yeah. Kazam. Yeah, Kazam and Blue Steel, right? Those were the two?
Yeah. I'd still watch them today, though. If it was on, I'd watch it.
You know, sadly, I actually watched Blue Steel not too long ago. It was on one of the pay movie stations, and, you know, there was just nothing else hanging around. I thought, yeah, I'm going to sit through this. Why, I don't know, but I'm going to sit through it. So, you know, it's just one of those things you do. But, yeah, he's one of the guys who got it. You know, and we're never, with the way sports are today, we're never going to get that serious game like we used to get when, you know, the Jordans and the Isaiahs and, you know, the Magics and those guys were kind of going after each other. We're never going to get that again. That's long gone. You know, these guys are all buddies. You know, they don't want to kill each other. You know, they want to go out there and play together and be friends and hold hands and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That killer instinct thing is gone.
Yeah, but I don't want to truly blame it all on, you know, this generation of ball players too. I think part of it too is, well, you know, sadly when it comes to travel and the way they do basketball, these guys all play together as kids, so they grow up with the same crap.
Yeah.
But I mean, the rules, they talk about it all the time. With, you know, you remember all the BS talk when the Warriors went to the finals and did their thing. And of course, everyone brings up the Bulls. Oh, the Warriors wouldn't have survived. Steph Curry wouldn't have survived back then. Well, okay, flip it vice versa. Those guys wouldn't survive now because they'd be fouled up the, you know, they'd be getting called all day.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff they did back then, they would never get away with. Now, you know, Bill Laimbeer would probably be, you know, kicked out of the league.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, even a guy like, you know, Dennis Rodman, who was known for his rebounding and defense, wouldn't be able to play the defense he used to play. You know, all that stuff that he used to do to, you know, help himself play defense and, you know, all those other kind of cool things, you can't do that anymore.
Cool. Well, not only that, I mean, you don't see guys diving for balls like Dennis Rodman would.
I saw a college kid do it last night. One of the funniest things that I'd seen in a while. You know how teams like to roll the ball in so the clock doesn't start?
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, one of the opponents finally got smart, and the guy was looking down at the ball getting ready to pick it up, and he shot in and dove and stole the ball, got up and made a layup. Or I think he might have dunked, but either way, it was a great play. So it was just kind of like, you know, I've always wondered why no one has ever tried to do that before or, you know, anything like that. And, you know, obviously I was just too, you know, fat and slow to do it, you know, anytime we were playing. But, you know, finally I saw a guy do it and it worked. You know, of course it was college and nobody would ever do that in the NBA. So, you know.
Yeah, well, they got the contract. You know, they don't want to lose their money.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to get hurt diving on the floor, good Lord. So maybe they'll dive on the floor when Ice Cube's, you know, Big Three League gets started, and then we can talk about those guys because, you know, I just hope Iverson plays and just doesn't coach.
He's going to host a lot of practice.
Yeah. All right, the music and I are leaving. We'll be coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do it all again. You know the deal while we're away, though. Get over to sportscomradio.com. Check out the content over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Go ahead and give that a like. Greatly appreciate it. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I out there on Twitter as well. I know we'll get to Dan's picks tomorrow. It's always nice to have a little break in these things. And, you know, with the NBA off, it's always tough to do hockey games. But come up with something. It's always thanks for listening live. Yeah, podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.